It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights shut out by the Winnipeg Jets 4-0. Fall to 45-22-8. Still 98 points on the year. Next in action Saturday, 7 o'clock in Calgary against the Flames, kicking off a three-game road trip for the Golden Knights. To help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bring in the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, when you look at this game, in response to a tough loss on Tuesday to the Edmonton Oilers here on home ice, were you surprised at the start for the Golden Knights?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there is a measure of surprise when a team as good as the Knights, when facing the best team in the NHL, does not seem to be at its best. The Jets certainly were. I think that, again, both of these teams are coming off losses against playoff teams, Vegas against Edmonton, the Jets against the Kings, and especially because the Jets decided their starter, Connor Hellebuyck, needed a break, and Eric Comrie came in while the Knights decided to go with Aiden Hill for the fifth consecutive game. And I'm not saying the Knights lost this game because Aiden Hill was not his normal fantastic self. The Knights just did not create nearly enough against Eric Comrie. And I give a lot of credit to the Winnipeg Jets. Big boost to get Luke Schenn back in. That's why they acquired him from Nashville. Well, really from Pittsburgh, but never played for Pittsburgh. Luke Schenn was back in. He had been a game-time decision against L.A., didn't play. Game-time decision today, he did play. And I thought that the Jets did so well. Take away all the Knights' time and space. Everything was challenged. Entries, you know, every dump in, Vegas couldn't get the cycle going, couldn't get the forecheck going. It just was just not typical Golden Knights hockey the way that we see when they are at their winning ways. And so from my point of view, I give a lot of credit to the Jets. I mean, they do have the number one defense in the league at 2.35 goals against per game. Much of that, of course, Connor Hellebuyck, who's going to win the Vezina for consecutive years. No one has won it in consecutive years since Martin Brodeur, who actually had won it 3 years in a row. I think this was the Jets at their best, and the Knights obviously not. It's, you know, you get Petrangelo back. He was, you know, fresh. The other guys, of course, have been playing all the games. You know, no Tomas Hertl. It's hard to say exactly, Ryan. You know, the human body catches up to you sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't know how it's going to work. Travel, sometimes the first game back, sometimes the second game back. I don't know. It just clearly was not the sort of game that we have seen from Vegas very often this year.
Yeah, and, you know, the Winnipeg Jets have been among the very best in the National Hockey League all year long, and there's a very good reason for that. They're a good team. We saw Bruce Cassidy change up the line combinations up front in the second period, change some things on the back end. We saw Hanifin with Whitecloud again, Haig with Petrangelo. I'm just curious, as we move into this three-game road trip and not sure when we might see Tomas Hertl back, did you see anything that you'd like to see again moving forward, either up front or on the blue line?
On the blue line, I think it's better the way that they finished. In my opinion, when the group is healthy, it is McNabb with Theodore, which did not change today. That's how they started and they finished. It's Hanifin with Whitecloud, and it's Haig with Petrangelo. Today they started Hanifin with Petrangelo and Haig with Whitecloud, but that switched during the game. So if it were me, I'd see Hanifin stay with Whitecloud and Haig stay with Petrangelo and keep McNabb with Theodore. Up front, no, I think that, you know, going forward, and you don't know when Tomas Hertl will return, but, you know, he's practiced with the team the last couple of days. I would think that when Hertl does return, he would play with Saad and Dorofiev. Then you got Barbashev with Eichel and Stone. And then you've got some options there to play with the bottom part of the lineup. You know, somebody will have to come out, whether it's Olofsson or Pearson, perhaps depending on the opponent. But, I'm not sure that, you know, when this team is playing at its best, you know, going into the playoffs, to me you're going to want Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone together. You're going to want Saad, Hertl, and Dorofiev together, Carlson and Smith together, et cetera. So that's, I think today that the changes were as much as anything to try to get a spark, try to get the team to play more simple hockey. Didn't really work to the tune of scoring, but that was my thinking. But we'll find out, I guess, if Bruce decides to go forward with any of the combos we saw today.
You know, Gary used the word stubborn, and that's been a word that we've heard over the really over a couple of years with Bruce Cassidy at the helm of the Golden Knights, where, you know, when a team is taking away the blue line, there's kind of a tendency to try to make a play through that space, and it doesn't work out. I guess when you look at this game tonight, what are the lessons in terms of chipping pucks in, taking the ice that's in front of you, as Bruce would talk about? What are the lessons there for the Golden Knights in the final seven games of the season?
Yeah, it, against the very best, especially teams that are game planning for it, it's not always going to work. I don't know how much Scott Arneil and his staff have zeroed in on, you know, pre-scouting the Golden Knights today. They hadn't played them, of course, since December. But there's, you know, that history there of the Knights, you know, having beaten the Jets in the playoffs twice, 2018 and 2023. The Jets had not beaten the Golden Knights in the regular season going back a few years. So I wonder if they put more into, like, pre-scouting the Knights. This is what they do. This is how they have their entries. And if that was something that they had planned, then the Golden Knights need to adapt. Again, they're so good. You have those plays that so often generate high-danger chances. But if the other team has really committed to thwarting those setups, you got to find another way. And they just could not find a way to do that today. The Jets took a lot of stuff away, not just on the entries, but also after the dump-ins as well. They were very strong below their goal line. It's almost like they figured, hey, we don't have Hellebuck to rely on today. Let's make Eric Comrie look like he's at his best and not give the Knights much, and they succeeded.
All right, Dan, any final thoughts on this one before we turn our attention to Saturday and the Calgary Flames?
I'm just excited that there's new Bruce Springsteen music coming out in June. I found out today that was big news. So they played Born to Run here in the press box in the arena before the game. So I had our engineer Joe Sands crank it up. And Ryan, it's a perfect time to transition to the head coach, Bruce Cassidy, coming to the podium.
All right, let's hear from Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah, but it seemed like tonight Winnipeg did a pretty good job of that. Shen was a bit of a force. Lowry was throwing some hits. So if you see these guys in the future, how much of a concern is that?
Yeah, well, we won't see them until we're well on our way. So that'll be certainly the farthest thing from my mind right now. So to answer that part of the question, we got other things to worry about. It's a problem just because it's happening. You know, you look at this stretch of games, we had a really good march with predominantly Eastern teams, right? We found our footing. But with the West, it's in the back, right? It's Winnipeg now, Edmonton yesterday, it's LA came in here. So these are the teams we got to go through, now in a different order. So that's the concern that we'll have to address with the group, and did after the game. Rarely I go and talk to the guys after the game. It's just an emotional moment. This is just more of it's a little bit an honest assessment of where we are with the Western Conference lately. Thought we were very well early in the year against them, lately not as well. So we've got to get that part of our game in order, the style of play we need to play to excel if we want to get to where we want to go. It's that simple. So tonight wasn't good enough. I think the players, if they haven't acknowledged it, should. They're a very honest group. I think they self-analyze well, so we got to correct that.
Two goals in the last two nights. Obviously none tonight. Just why are teams finding success kind of slowing you guys down?
Well, I thought their goaltender was good tonight. I mean, I certainly wouldn't sit here and say we had no chances. The problem is we had our chances after we're chasing the game, right? So now, if it's 0-0, 1-0, you're one goal away. But both nights now, it's been multiple goals that we've had to chase. So, but I guess the root of the problem right now with us not scoring is inside, tips, rebounds, stuff like that when the rush game's not there. Now, the rush game opened up a bit in the second, got us some looks. I think Stoney was in a few times. So we certainly had an opportunity to get back in the game. Power play's been effective for us at timely goals. We got one early today, only one, and it wasn't very good. So that could have helped us. We went into Nashville, it helped us. We went into Chicago, it helped us. So that third prong of offense, the ozone play, we're going to have to get a little greasier, get some second chance, tips, rebounds, whatever you got to do, because if they close the rush game down. So that's where we weren't good enough tonight as well, and probably in the Edmonton game as well, when you're only generating. Now, we got to 27 shots. Maybe the goalie out skews that a bit, but it wasn't enough, right? Enough attempts. And so that's an area we'll keep pounding away on.
Alan. Bruce, do you chalk this up to kind of an isolated one-game situation, or are you concerned about just how the team seemed to be a stride behind Winnipeg almost the entire
time? I'm concerned. This isn't a one-off. I mean, we should be prepared to play. We talked about Edmonton not being a full 60, a good 45, I would say. So we should have responded well. We decision to make yesterday, do we practice, do we not, do we rest, because we've got a four-game week. We're traveling three different cities here, four, and all that stuff. We didn't, and it showed. Our pace wasn't good enough. We didn't execute well enough. So that's something, as a coach, I got to look in the mirror and decide, was that the right call? But it's behind us now, so I got to make the right call the next time on that. If we're going to play that style of game where we're trying to make plays no matter what. And that's where I think our problem is right now. Understanding when the plays are there to be made and when you got to old-fashioned chip it behind and force some turnovers. That's what L.A. did to Winnipeg the other night. And it worked to a T. Could it have worked for us? Well, we never got to that game, so I can't answer that question. I was hoping we would have an opportunity to get to that type of game. Then the rest of the game opens up, but we didn't want to do it that way early. I think we had 9 giveaways in the first period. I'd say all 9 were in the first 10 minutes, probably.
Go Mark and Ken.
Mark Anderson, AP. Excuse me. Did Aiken get hurt, or was there something else to that?
No, just getting Schmid in. I felt we didn't have a ton of juice, and we can always come back. We're a dangerous hockey team. We're always going to play to the final whistle. I thought we did, third period. But Schmidt's going to have to play for us at some point, so maybe this isn't a bad time to sort of get his feet wet, get around the guys a little bit in a game where Winnipeg's probably not on a full-court press, more trying to get the game to the finish line. And that's how it worked out, so hopefully it benefited him so when he does go in the net, which is going to be this weekend, one of the games.
Last one, Ken.
Ken Mulkey, Sinman.Vegas. You said for a while you wanted to take a look at Carlson playing with Stone. You got a chance to see two periods of it. Is it something you might stick with?
I don't know, Ken, to be honest. We'll go through it again. I was hoping to drill down on our lines and get to the, sort of. Again, I wanted to look at it. I agree. I've said it. I know I'm on probably video somewhere saying it, but it was September, it was November, it was December. Now we're April 4th, so it's getting a little bit later in the game to start experimenting. Now, when you're not going well and no line is really done, I thought Howie's line was good and Kolasar and Pearson, yet they're minus two, so tough. I felt bad for them, but I thought they were generating, trying to play to their identity, getting offense from puck recoveries and trying to get inside. The other lines didn't seem to have a whole lot, so that was an opportunity to look at it. I don't know what we'll do on Saturday yet. Saturday morning will probably be a good indicator of that in morning skate.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 4-0 loss to the Winnipeg Jets. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Jackpot presented by NocVee Injury Law is an exclusive sweepstakes offering 14 lucky fans the opportunity of a lifetime, the chance to bring home select pieces of memorabilia from a randomly selected VGK player's locker. It's an unforgettable experience for the biggest Golden Knights fans. Enter at vgk.io/NocVee. That's vgk.io/NocVee. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 4-0 to the Winnipeg Jets. 45-22-8, that's the record for the Golden Knights, 98 points on the year. Still top spot in the Pacific Division, though that lead is shrinking for the Vegas Golden Knights. Next in action Saturday, 7 o'clock in Calgary against the Flames. 3-game road trip for the Golden Knights. You've got the Flames, you've got the Vancouver Canucks, and then you've also got a date with the Colorado Avalanche. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Alex Pietrangelo returned to the lineup for the Golden Knights after missing the last 4 games. Tomáš Hertl remains out for Vegas, though he did practice this week. He was on the ice yesterday and on the ice today. So 2 days in a row for Hertl. That's good news. We'll see when we might get Hertl back into the fold. Could it be on the road trip? Is he going to travel? All of those things will sort themselves out in due time. But Hertl, the only player right now not available for the Golden Knights, up front anyway, due to an injury. Ilya Samsonov still out day-to-day, upper body injury. Akira Schmid did get into game action in this one, played the third period for Aiden Hill. As Bruce Cassidy just mentioned, that was nothing to do with Aiden Hill's play or an injury or anything like that. It was just simply an opportunity to get Akira Schmid into a game, because the expectation is, if Samsonov's not back with a back-to-back this coming weekend, you're going to need to use Akira Schmid in one of those games. Let's get to the highlights in this one. We go back to the first period, and the Jets open the scoring 13 minutes into the game after Alex Iafallo made a great play at the blue line before ripping a backhand pass to Mark Scheifele.
On the right, Iafallo dishing left, score! Mark Scheifele! And the Jets score in transition with 7 minutes to go in the first. 1-0 Winnipeg.
Mark Scheifele from Alex Iafallo and Luke Shen, 13:01 of the first period, made it 1-0 Winnipeg, and the Jets extended their lead with just over 90 seconds left in the first period after a point shot bounced around at the top of the crease and fell to the stick of Adam Lowry.
Pursuit knocked it away from Appleton to the point for a shot, knocked down, rebound, score! Like a ping pong ball in front, and the Jets capitalize. 2-0 Winnipeg with 1:45 to go in the first period.
Adam Lowry from Nino Niederreiter and Logan Stanley, 18:15 of the first period, made it 2-0 Winnipeg. The Jets would take that two-goal lead into the second period and added a power play goal midway through the period on a rocket from Colin Miller.
Taken behind the net, Niederreiter now up top. Miller cranks, he scores! With 9 seconds left on the penalty, Colin Miller rockets home a power play goal. Fourth goal of the year for the former Golden Knight. And the Jets have a 3-0 lead with 8:07 to go in the second period.
Colin Miller on the power play from Mason Appleton and Nino Niederreiter. 11:53 of the second period made it 3-0 Winnipeg. The Jets took that three-goal lead into the third period, and Bruce Cassidy went to an early pull for the extra attacker to try and spark a comeback, but Cole Perfetti iced the game with an empty net goal.
Eichel looking left, hoping for Watt. Left circle, knocked away. Comes ahead. Here comes Perfetti toward the empty net. He scores! 4-0 Winnipeg with under a minute to go. Goals in three straight games for Cole Perfetti.
18th goal of the year for Cole Perfetti, an empty netter from Kyle Connor, 19:08 of the third period, made it 4-0 Winnipeg, and all that was left in this game was a final call.
Final 10 seconds ticking off. Colin Miller back to his own line, and Jets fans in attendance begin to make some noise. Jets have not won against the Knights in the regular season in 3 years. It's a shutout for Eric Comrie.
There you have it, 4-0, the final. The Winnipeg Jets shut out the Vegas Golden Knights. First time the Jets have beaten the Golden Knights in three seasons. Vegas, 45-22-8, 98 points on the year. Next in action Saturday, 7 o'clock in Calgary against the Flames. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights shut out by the Winnipeg Jets, 4-0 the final. Vegas, 45-22-8, 98 points on the year. Next in action Saturday, 7 o'clock against Calgary. Checking in on the text line, 702-876-1340. That's the text line. That is the place for instant reactions. It's a doozy on the text line, I can tell you that right now. We'll get to phone calls in just a couple of moments, so stand by. Get ready, all your hot takes, I'd love to hear them, but text line is always open for you. Will says, this was a game where Tomas Hertl's absence was very noticeable. I agree 100%. You heard from Bruce Cassidy just a few moments ago, and what he was talking about in terms of the offense and why over the last two games against Edmonton and certainly this one tonight against Winnipeg, why the offense has stagnated or dried up to a degree for the Golden Knights. Well, it's very simple. You're missing one of your best interior players in Tomas Hertl. I mean, Bruce said it, right? They needed tips. They needed rebounds. They needed to be harder to play against on the inside in front of Eric Hommery, and that is who Tomas Hertl is. And so when you're missing that player, when you're missing that element, when you're missing that line that kind of gives you that interior play, especially in the offensive zone, it's going to be noticeable. And I think it was tonight. The other thing that we should spend some time on here is another aspect of Bruce Cassidy's post-game press conference. And that was very simply that when the Golden Knights are turning pucks over trying to make plays, when the plays aren't there to be made, it becomes very difficult to open the game up in any other direction or to push the other team on their heels. The Winnipeg Jets committed to taking away the blue line, the offensive blue line from the Golden Knights. Time after time after time, Vegas was trying to force the puck through bodies, controlled zone entries, and time after time after time, they were turning the puck over. And so in those moments, in those instances, you have to kind of go against what your initial reaction would be and chip pucks in and go to work down low, create a forecheck, establish a forecheck, win those battles in the trenches. And so when Bruce Cassidy says he's concerned, it's a heavier, harder game in the Western Conference. We all know this. And I think for the Golden Knights, they have done so well creating offense, especially in transition. But to win in the playoffs, to win in the Western Conference specifically, you have to be as comfortable chipping pucks in and going to work in the trenches as you are in transition. And I think this is another lesson for the Golden Knights to learn. Coming out of this game, going into Calgary, going into Vancouver, especially going into Colorado, you can't force plays if they're not there. You can chip pucks in. You can outwork the opponent down low. And I'm expecting that to happen for the Golden Knights when they drop the puck on Saturday. We're back to wrap it up next on the VGK postgame show. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the VGK postgame show, the Golden Knights shut out by the Winnipeg Jets, 4-0 the final. 45-22-8, 98 points on the year. Next in action, Saturday, 7 o'clock, in Calgary against the Flames. You've got Calgary, then Vancouver, and Colorado. That's the upcoming three-game road trip for the Vegas Golden Knights. Take a look at the standings right now as they are in the Pacific Division. Vegas still on top. Again, three-point lead over the Los Angeles Kings. LA winning tonight in Utah, so they're up to 95 points. And then the Edmonton Oilers winning in San Jose up to 93 points. So it's a three-point lead over the Los Angeles Kings and a five-point lead over the Edmonton Oilers. And now's the time for the Golden Knights to kind of kick it back into gear. Let's not forget that the Golden Knights were coming off of a six-game win streak over the last 2 weeks. So the ability is there for this team to go on a run. It exists. We know they have it in them. It's been a setback for two games. Good teams will finish it there. They'll stop it there, especially when they are in control of winning the division. And that's a goal for the Vegas Golden Knights. They have stated it as a goal for themselves as a group, and I'm expecting the Golden Knights to come out and look more like themselves when they hit the road in Calgary. Because they have to. Because right now, that lead that they had, it has shrunk. It is not comfortable anymore. And I'm interested to see how that pans out for the Golden Knights down the stretch. Meaningful games with something to play for. How do they respond? That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
It's the extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-1 the final, or 4-0 the final. Boy, gave the Golden Knights a goal. 4-0 the final. Winnipeg Jets shut out the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas 45-22-8, 98 points on the year. 3-point lead now over the Los Angeles Kings in the Pacific Division. 5-point lead over the Edmonton Oilers. It's become a little bit more uncomfortable for the Vegas Golden Knights in their outlook of winning the division, though still well within their reach and well within their grasp. They control their own destiny. Vegas, three-game road trip upcoming on the ice again Saturday in Calgary. 7 o'clock puck drop against the Flames. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340, this one should be good. I want to hear from you. If you have sent in a text, I'd like you to pick up the phone and dial the number. If you were at the game, I'd like you to pick up the phone and dial the number. I invite you to call in and talk about your feelings on the Vegas Golden Knights with 7 games remaining in the regular season and the opportunity still in front of them to win the division. Pick up the phone, dial the number, 702-876-1340. We've got lines open right now. And once again, if you were at the game, if you can hear my voice, I want to hear from you. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'll call out the group that texted, because I can just hear it in your voice when you read those texts. That it's just it's a waste of space, a lot of those texts. But I do want to hear from the 18,100-plus who attended the game, because I am so proud of you people. Whoever you are out there, I hope one or two of you or more will call. I didn't hear any boos to speak of. Did you?
No. I mean, not outside of just kind of frustration with the lack of chances, but no, not really.
Okay, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for an even keel sort of approach, because we played the, let's face it, one of the two or three best teams in hockey, and we didn't win. Not the end of the world, but it is concerning. And Coach Cassidy was very concerned, I thought, in the post game, saying it's not a one-off. We've got to dig down and figure this thing out. Are you at all in agreement or disagreement with the way he tinkers with lines during a game?
They didn't have anything going today. I didn't have an issue with it.
Okay. Sometimes you are, though.
Not really, because I don't think Bruce tinkers just to tinker. You know what I mean? Like, generally speaking, when Bruce is trying to make adjustments or changes, it's because of something he's seeing in the game. And usually when he's making those adjustments, it's because they're not generating much. So I don't have an issue with kind of being flexible in the moment in terms of what your line construction looks like or moving guys around. It's worked out more often than not, so I don't really have much of an issue with it.
Yeah, I think it's at least a 58% success ratio. Whatever it is, it's more
probably
valuable.
More than that, yeah.
Yeah, but one more thing, and I do have a very strong opinion about who we might play come April 19th, and I don't want to play, I have no desire to play Minnesota. None whatsoever. I hear nothing but pundits who say, let's play Minnesota. They're slumping. they're about to get the two of the best players in hockey back. Well, one of the best, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd call Joel Eriksson Ek one of the best players in hockey, but I hear you on Kaprizov.
Yeah, and I don't want to play him. I can't imagine that anyone would want to play Minnesota ready and fresh and rested and ready to play.
I mean, Mike, the counter argument to that is Kirill Kaprizov hasn't played in a long, long time. He's an explosive skater, and you just don't really have any understanding of whether or not he's going to be 100%. Like, there's healthy enough to play in the regular season, healthy enough to play in the playoffs, and then there's 100%.
Yeah, and that's what you have to be at come postseason. I'll give you that for sure. St. Louis is not going to win 15 or 14 of 15. They have to play Colorado, Winnipeg, and they have to play some. They got four games left, and three of them are against the top teams in the Central. So, you know, St. Louis is not the team that you want to be playing. I mean, the team you do want to be playing, because they had their run. The run's over. It's going to be over soon, and I want to play them. Now, we have added to the equation some other possibilities, which I won't discuss on this call. But let's see if we even have to discuss them. That's all for now, and let's go win one or two or both in Western Canada.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. I'm reading through the text line. I've got an open invitation. If you text it in and you have strong opinions about this game, strong opinions about the Golden Knights and how they've played, I'd love for you to pick up the phone, dial the number, and call in to the post-game show, 702-876-1340. We have lines open right now. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So, I was at the game. I actually won tickets, so I was in the lower bowl, which I don't get to sit in very often. So up close to the action, it seems like almost everyone was fighting it, especially that first period, like stuff wasn't connecting. But then, like, the third period, they did just about everything they could except for score, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they had so many decent chances, and then even though they didn't score on it, it was good to see them be able to hold possession and get some decent chances on the 6-on-5, which I've said this before. You know, it's not a situation you want to be in often, but, you know, at the very least, they got some practice and work in on that in a real situation, because you can only do so much in practice, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to play your own teammates in a practice the same way you would in a real game. So there's that, at least.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the optimism, and that's good in this moment. I'm 6-on-5. Hopefully you're not in that scenario too often, or at least where you've got to go to it for 5.5 minutes at the end of a game. But it's not going to be smooth sailing every single game. And thanks, Stephanie, for the call in the postseason. And it's not going to be smooth sailing all the way down the stretch either. This is the most desperate time in the National Hockey League, and so you're going to have to find ways to kind of work through these moments or work through these types of games. And, you know, the Golden Knights, they weren't able to do it tonight. And I think there's a couple of lessons to pull out of it, some lessons to learn. And hopefully they do, and they're better for it when the games really do matter a little bit more, and that is coming over the next couple of weeks and into the playoffs. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Annie. Hey, Annie, how you doing?
I'm really good. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good.
So I couldn't hear the other two callers before me, so I don't want to be redundant. Did anybody talk about our lack of defense from our offensive players?
No. Go ahead and hit me with it.
So I don't know who's calling the lines. I don't know if it's Bruce or Kelly. But the chemistry of the guys, when you keep changing it up, I understand Hurdle's gone. It's a deficit. But we have so much talent out there, and they were discombobulated because they're so used to syncing with certain guys. And it's like, I'm watching these games the last 8 years, avid season ticket holder, and it's just so frustrating to watch the lines when you know there's so much chemistry between certain guys. I know they're all pros. They're all excellent. But do you find any rhythm or choreography that's missing when you change up the lines like this.
So my read on it, Annie, specifically tonight, was the Golden Knights were looking to make the extra play when it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so the thought process, I would imagine, from Bruce Cassidy, and he touched on it in his post-game commentary, but I would imagine the thought process is, okay, let's move some things around to simplify the game, right? Like, there are touch passes that Ivan Barbashev tries with Jack Eichel that he's not going to try with other guys because that chemistry isn't there. So in those moments,
the Winnipeg Jets were so offensively struck that they were just intercepting stuff and poke-checking like crazy.
Well, I'm saying that was a product of the Winnipeg Jets, right? Like, they were everywhere.
No, it was excellent. They were excellent.
And so I think what you're trying to do in those moments is take away those chemistry plays, those touch plays that were not working at all in an effort to kind of force the team, the Golden Knights in this case, to dump pucks in and work in the trenches. And
yeah,
you know, I think that's what really fueled the changes in the lines. I thought the Golden Knights responded pretty well in this game.
Oh, they were working there. They were working so hard. I mean, you could see
yeah.
It was brutal to watch.
Yeah, but that being said, like, I don't know that I'm expecting the lines to start Saturday the way that they ended this game.
No,
I would imagine you're
not
back to Barbashev, Eichel, and Stone. I would imagine that you're back
yeah.
to, you know, familiarity, and hopefully we have some good news on Tomáš Hertl as well when they take the ice again.
Well, and I was in Detroit for a really long time. They put the Russians together. I would love to see Dorofeev and Barbashev on a line together, you know, maybe with Stone or Eichel. Like, I just think that there's some magic just with the NHL where you see certain players that play a certain way that get each other.
Yeah.
I'm not the coach. I'm not the GM. I'm just an avid viewer of the sport, and I watch all the teams, not just ours. And it's so frustrating because I watched them work so hard, and I just felt like Winnipeg, and we also, you know, I don't know if anybody said it or not, we didn't get called. And, you know, I'm not whining about it. I don't think it's an excuse. Maybe the refs are practicing for playoffs, but there were some big trips. Mark Stone bit it in front of the net. I mean,
yeah,
that was a big trip. They didn't call anything on the Jets all night. It was bizarre. It was just kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Annie. I really appreciate it. It's an uphill battle for the Golden Knights to get penalties. It's kind of been this way all season for whatever reason. They don't take a lot of penalties. They don't get a lot of penalties. It's a double-edged sword in a lot of ways. I do think, though, because they were so out of sync offensively, I don't know that extra power plays would have necessarily turned things around for them. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was more or less too little too late offensively for the Golden Knights in this one. I understand why Bruce Cassidy switched up the lines, and we'll see how things unfold moving forward. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340. If you were at the game, or if you already texted in your hot take on the text line, I want you to pick up the phone, I want you to dial the number, and I want to hear from you on the extended postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Hey, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-0 the final. The Winnipeg Jets defeat the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas drops 2 in a row on home ice. 45-22-8, 98 points on the year. Next in action Saturday, 7 o'clock against the Calgary Flames. In Calgary, you got Calgary, Vancouver, and Colorado on this three-game road trip for the Vegas Golden Knights. 702-876-1340, still time. If you are hearing my voice, I'm telling you right now, we have lines open. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. That's the deal. Pick up the phone, dial the number 702-876-1340. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Mark. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan. It's another beautiful night. So my take, I haven't heard anything you guys are talking about, so I didn't hear anything even after the game, nothing at all, but I also know that, you know, these guys are going to win some and lose some. You can't I one of the things that always cracks me up about some of the callers is their peak and valley. If we win, you're happy as can be, and if they lose, the sky's falling and our team you know, is terrible. But I feel like tonight we played like a team that just clinched the playoffs the game before. And, you know, whether we don't want to, or the team, the guys don't want to do this, but you're going to take a step backwards and just, not a step backwards, but you're going to relax a little bit because you've clinched a playoff spot. And I think that's how we played. We just, you know, we didn't play with our full intensity because we've already clinched the playoff spot. That was my take on the game.
You know, that's a really interesting point, Mark, because, you know, you're right to a degree, right? There's a natural exhalation that happens when you are working toward a goal for 72, 75 games, and then you get there. It's human nature to just kind of relax a bit. However, there is still the matter of winning the division. And kind of to your point, and what I think is going to be interesting in how they respond is, you know, the Golden Knights just a couple of games ago had a 9 and 11 point lead over LA and Edmonton. And that's shrunk all the way down now by virtue of these two losses to just a 3-point lead over LA and a 5-point lead over the Edmonton Oilers. And I'm interested to see if now that those two teams are as close as they are, if we see another gear, kind of like what we saw from the Golden Knights on that 6-game win streak.
I agree. I think, you know, you get that game out of your system, you know, there's some exhale, and now it's back to work. And I think that's what we're going to see, is we're going to see back to work. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to win, but I think we're going to play hard and play right. And, you know, if you do that, winning takes care of itself. But I think we're going to see us back on track. We had an exhale, and here we go.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Mark. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. I think Mark brings up a really good point. Like, I bang on this drum a lot when it comes to NHL players not being robots, being humans. And, you know, we all have been there before, whether you're going through, a long work week or an extended scenario where you've got a deadline and then that deadline passes, for whatever it might be, whether you're a student and you're going to classes and you've got finals, whatever the case is. When you take your last test or when you nail that presentation, you go home and you're just chilled out and relaxed. And I think to a certain degree, human nature takes over, and we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that we're not talking about robots, we're talking about human beings. Now, that being said, there's still a goal in front of them. They're highly motivated athletes. They're highly motivated individuals. And the goal remains the same. I know that the last two games were setbacks, but the goal for the Golden Knights remains the same. Now that they're in the playoffs, they want to win the division. And so they're going to have to get back in the win column. They're going to have to start getting back to the fundamentals that make this team who they are. And hopefully they're able to start that on Saturday night in Calgary. Take a break. Wrap things up next on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 4-0 the final. The Golden Knights shut out by the Winnipeg Jets. Vegas 45-22-8, 98 points on the year. I think for the Golden Knights, you know, again, this is another setback against one of the best teams in the National Hockey League in the Winnipeg Jets. And Bruce Cassidy said it wasn't a one-off. Bruce Cassidy said that he was concerned. And I think there are a couple of lessons to pull out of this one. Number one, when there's not a play to be made, the Golden Knights have to get back to and have to get comfortable with chipping pucks in, utilizing a forecheck, and getting a little bit greasier. And then by the same token, when the offense isn't coming because of the rush game, you've got to look for those deflections. You've got to look for those tips, those rebounds, those second and third opportunities. That's the lesson. Now it's up to the Golden Knights to learn it and implement it Saturday night in Calgary against the Flames. That's going to be a desperate hockey team. The Golden Knights are going to need to match that intensity. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Post Game Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It's your post game show. It's not as much fun for me without your calls and your input. Until Saturday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.